Meeting? Are we okay? Okay, thank you. I'd like to call to order the commission meeting for Wednesday, April 25th, 2012. Do we have a quorum?
We do have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Just a quick report. There will be a special joint ABAG Executive Board and Commission meeting on our calendars. We'll meet on May 17th at 7 p.m. at the Oakland Marriott City Center. This is a special joint ABAG Executive Board and MTC Commission meeting. The agenda will include the planned Bay Area Preferred Scenario and One Bay Area Grant Program. This meeting is in addition to the regularly scheduled BATA and Commission meetings on May 23rd. So please, if you'll note that for your calendar. Okay. We're now to item number three, which is the Policy Advisory Council Report. Egon Turplin.
Good morning, Commissioners. Egon Turplin, Vice Chair of the Policy Advisory Council. It's very good to be here to talk with you this morning. I wanted to step back and talk really about two items that we spent quite a bit of time on last month. They're not on your agenda today, per se, but as we continue down in the process of working on planning for Plan Bay Area, we had the opportunity to look really closely at the MTC investment strategy that came out a few weeks ago and also held a special meeting really focused on the Express Lane network. And I know because that's a part of what's being proposed for the Regional Transportation Plan, just wanted to spend a minute on both of those. We have our minutes and some of our specific comments are in, I believe, in your packet somewhere. But the first part is that strategy number one that staff have proposed is called Close the GHG Gap, which is how do we get from 9% GHG reductions in the ABAG land use scenario and the MTC investment strategy all the way to the 15%. And the advisory council had a lot of comments. And to try to kind of sum them up into the gist of it, I think it was the sense that a lot of these are good ideas, not per se anything per se wrong with them, but some of them didn't quite seem to be in the spirit of what SB 375 is really trying to do, which is to change driving behavior through land use. And a lot of these seem to be really focused on efficiency from automobiles. And so the advisory council said you've presented it, the staff had presented it as option A or option B. You ought to throw them all together and say, here's a bunch of policies that you ought to look at and decide whether or not you think they're the right ones to get us to the 15% reduction. Just put them up in a big list, show what percentages we get to for each one of them. And so we had proposals for a couple more that you might want to consider. And it seems that the big one that's really missing from that list is something that relates to pricing the roads, something that we know and every study out there shows that truly is going to change travel behavior, and one that might see a little bit greater concentration of activity, which ultimately is what this strategy is all about. How do we focus growth around existing areas, around existing transit? So it seemed that was a big gap in what was being proposed to you. So we would really encourage you to add that back in, at least from an analytics standpoint. What does that get us to? A number of people also raised issues related to the fact that why should the region be subsidizing people to buy electric vehicles when it seems like the market's really doing a great job in that? And a lot of people on the advisory council were concerned about some of the equity implications of that. And I actually read this morning, for example, I think the average household that buys a Chevy Volt makes $170,000 a year, and the federal government's been thinking about subsidizing people to buy those types of cars. Didn't seem that was the right use of scarce public dollars to encourage people to do something that's already seeming to happen, and frankly, a lot of the electric vehicles are being bought by higher-income people anyway. A couple people on the advisory council said, wait, if we're going to subsidize people to buy cars, why don't we subsidize transit ridership or give people free transit passes instead? So I think there was a sense that this didn't quite seem like the set of policies that would be most appropriate to achieve Plan Bay Area. So that was sort of the, you know, close the GHG gap set of things. On the second side was on the set of strategies related to squeeze efficiency out of the existing system. And this is where the Express Lane network comes in as one of the strategies. And we had a whole session focused on that. And I'd say that the advisory council is not in agreement on our concerns with it. A lot of people have concerns, and they probably fall into two buckets. One set of bucket of people who are concerned with the express lanes think that there's aspects of them that are inequitable, some people can't afford to go in them, and there's concerns about it. And staff presented a lot of data saying, well, we don't think that that's a big concern, but a lot of people, the advisory council, are concerned. The other side, and I'd put myself into this camp, say, it's good that you're acknowledging the need to price the roads, but maybe it's not worth the political hassle you're going through to price the roads in such a way that you don't get any money for transit. And a lot of people, when they'd heard about the express lane several years back, had thought that there was going to be leftover money to pay for transit on the roads. And staff is being very clear, that's probably not going to happen. It's expensive to do, not as many people are using it. There's not going to be that leftover money. And so the gist of it is this really worth doing? Is this really the best way to go forward? And ultimately, is it an efficiency program? Because a lot of the money would be spent on adding new lanes, not just managing the existing highway. So a lot of concerns sort of about that particular area and questions about whether that's the best use of money. And then a tiny piece of this is some of the bonds are going to be created. It sounds like a subset of you would be involved in a BIFA or some entity that would be involved with selling that. And we thought that was a big policy issue that maybe the full commission ought to look at and not a subset of the commission, because this is a big question of how do we spend money to expand roadway. So two big chunks, close the GHG gap and this question of efficiency that we had a lot of questions about, but unanimous support for many of the things that are in the investment strategy. And we think that staff has done really great work, and we felt it very clear and transparent and easy to interpret what was being presented. So we really wanted to commend staff with a document that made it very easy to have a good policy debate around it. So any questions or other
thank
thoughts?
You, Gunn. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Great, thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks for all your hard work, too. The Executive Director's Report, Mr. Hemminger.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. I have no personnel changes to report this month for a change. Usually there is one. Quite a lot of events, though, so I'll take a few minutes, if you don't mind, just to catch you up, although many of you were either leading or participating in several of these events. First one, I'll start on page one, second item down. Every 4 years, we're subject as a Metropolitan Planning Organization to a federal certification review. We have to be recertified by Uncle Sam to continue to perform the role that we do, and I'm pleased to report that we have been in this latest cycle, so we are good for another 4 years of regional transportation planning. Secondly, on that page, you'll see near the bottom the AC Transit fuel cell dedication event, which is a pretty big deal for a couple reasons. One, it's the facility they're going to be using to refuel the fuel cell buses that they run, but it's also going to be a facility open to the general public. So as automobiles increasingly use that technology, they'll be able to pull up next to the bus and get refueled as well. This one's in Emeryville. At the bottom of that page, all of you participated actively, I know, in the work that we did on the high-speed rail memorandum of understanding with the California High-Speed Rail Authority. You approved the item unanimously. They approved the item unanimously on April 12th. Chair Tissier was there to urge them on. They also, at that same meeting, it was really, I think, a watershed meeting for that organization, approved a similar MOU with Los Angeles. But I think even more important than those two actions, they approved what is probably going to be their final revised business plan. That will be the basis of the legislature making a decision later this year about whether to start building the thing. And as you've been following in the press, there is still a very active debate on that question. And we will find out, I think, later this summer whether we're going to start building high-speed rail or keep talking about it for another few years. On page two, a related event in a way, because the high-speed rail alignment will be traversing in our region, San Francisco to San Jose, and one of its stations will be shared with the BART extension that will be built in Silicon Valley. And the first phase of that BART extension got underway with the groundbreaking on April 12th. Quite a few commissioners were there. Commissioner Haggerty spoke at the groundbreaking, and I think managed to avoid singing "Do You Know the Way to San Jose," but he got the reference in. And he's referring to an event that I, if he doesn't mind, I'd like to recall it, because I remember a meeting that we had. It was soon after then Mayor Gonzalez in San Jose talked about connecting to BART. And I think he meant connecting to BART, like building some kind of other rail technology to get to the BART system. And the idea sort of took off and became BART connecting to San Jose. And the meeting I'm recalling is one that we had, I think, in the Milpitas Library.
Fremont
Library, wrong city, right venue. We were all assembled around a table, including Mayor Gonzalez, and Commissioner Haggerty walks in at just the right moment of comic timing with a boombox playing "Do You Know the Way to San Jose" with Dionne Warwick, and it just got the meeting off on the right foot. So, good news there is the first phase is underway. You'll recall the second phase of that project is a project that we are recommending that you move forward as one of the region's next New START candidates, including also the project at the other end of the high-speed rail alignment at the downtown extension of Caltrain in San Francisco. Next item on page 2 may sound a little bit at odds with the item I already reported to you on page 1. Even though we have been recertified, we are still subject to discretionary reviews by various federal agencies. And we had a discretionary Title VI review. This is on the question of environmental justice. That was initiated back when the Oakland Airport Connector project was before you and all the turmoil and fallout from that. We received this past month the final report from that review, which generally I think indicated that we were doing what we ought to be doing, but it did identify two deficiencies that we will have to rectify. The first having to do with language access for persons with limited English proficiency, the other having to do with the Clipper program. And as you know, we've gone through a lot of fare changes with Clipper, and we will need to be doubling back on that and making sure that we're doing those properly, as well as those that we do in the future, and making sure that they do not disadvantage folks of lower income or of certain minority groups. So what we owe the Federal Transit Administration there is a plan within 30 days about how we will correct these deficiencies. We certainly think they're eminently correctable, and we'll be submitting that plan and then carrying out that work over the next several months. Next item on that page is another milestone having to do with our toll bridge seismic safety program, and that is we can cross one more bridge off the list. The Antioch Bridge has achieved seismic safety thanks to a retrofit project there that was completed about $15 million below budget and a few months early. If only that could be the track record we had at every bridge. But it is not, and the Dumbarton project is actually trending pretty much on budget, on schedule, but that means it's not going to be done till sometime middle of next year. And the big fish, of course, is the east span of the Bay Bridge, which we hope to open in the fall of next year, considerably over budget. And finally, let me just spend a minute on that page at the bottom on reauthorization, because we actually have some progress to report, I think, for the first time in a couple of years. And that is through what is essentially a parliamentary maneuver. The House has figured out a way to get to conference with the Senate, even though the Senate has passed an authorizing bill and the House has not. The House just passed an extension of current law with a couple of, I guess the analogy is with a little lipstick on it, and they sent it over to the Senate. and the Senate decided to use that as a conference vehicle. So now the Senate has named conferees. The House is scheduled to do so today, and they will at last be around a negotiating table to try to put together a new authorization. Now, there are obviously some, as I say here, some flies in the ointment still. One of them is that this is going to be a very odd negotiation because the Senate has passed a detailed bill reauthorizing the program. The House has passed effectively nothing, just a shell to get to conference. And you can imagine the dialogue when the House guys say, well, gee, you have to agree to us on this provision, and the Senate says you couldn't even get it passed in your House. So why are you telling me I have to agree with you? I can imagine a lot of the dialogue will be along those lines. Secondly, the timetable and the revenue question is becoming more and more acute as time goes by. When the Senate began its work on the bill that's now in conference, it was a two-year bill. When it passed it, it was about an 18-month bill. If they take another several months getting this conferenced, we're going to have a year extension, which means that as soon as the ink is dry on the president's signature, they're going to have to start working on the next extension or the next authorization. So I think we still are in very much an uncertain time with the federal program, and the Defense Department has been living with one-year authorizations for a long time. We've had the luxury of having these multi-year measures. We may be more like defense, although we're certainly not getting the kind of money they do, but we may be treated more like that Department of Government in the future than we have been in the past. Let me mention finally just a couple of other documents that are before you or in my report. The first is the annual report for our agency for 2011, and it features, it's called On the Job, and it features the folks who are not only running the system today but helping build the system we're going to use tomorrow. And I think a lot of these individuals don't get enough credit often enough. So we've featured them in this report, and I think Commissioner Wirth is going to talk a little bit more about part of that feature, which is wrapping around you at the Caldecott Tunnel. And then I've included a chart of the month in your report. It's attachment 5, which again, no, I'm looking at it. I think we got the wrong number there. It's missing in mine, so maybe I'll just move on from that. I promise you it was a riveting chart. No, that's the map of the month, Commissioner. So let's go to that, because this map is pretty interesting, too. You're all aware as Californians that we often get the knock that, you know, we're the home of the car culture and the birthplace of sprawl and all the rest of that stuff. And the fact is California is denser in its urban areas than anywhere else in the United States. And the data in this map bears it out. Of the five densest urban areas in the nation, four are located in California. The Bay Area is actually number two. L.A. is number one. The odd thing in this chart is Delano. What the heck are they doing on the chart, right? And the fact is they're home of two huge prisons, which are quite dense the way they are organized. So that's a bit of a sad fact, frankly, about the state of our state. But the density of our urban development patterns is something that is often missed by a lot of national commentators who I think are still stuck in the 1950s. That's not what the state looks like today. And when you go around the country to other urban areas, Atlanta, especially the South, they are much less dense than we are here. And finally, I'll just mention something at your places, just asking for your help, this orange sheet of paper. We are recruiting for members of our advisory council. And as you know, members of that council tend to represent certain interests or groups. So we are looking especially for representatives of the economy, the environment, and also representatives of disabled, senior, and low-income interests. So if you know of anybody that you'd like to recommend, please forward their information to me, and we'll get to work on that. So that concludes my rather lengthy report, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Steve. Any questions for Steve or comments? Yes, Mr. Osenbrato.
Hi, Tom Osenbrato, HUD rep. Steve, on the Bay Area, is there a particular reason why some of the nine counties are showing and others aren't on this, the way it's broken out? I mean, it has part of a RIN, but it doesn't have part of Contra Costa.
This is a bit of an artifact of federal law, Commissioner, and I'm sure you'll appreciate it as a federal employee. The Bay Area, we think of it as one thing, but under federal law, we have, goodness, I think about a dozen urbanized areas. So I think the two that are shown here are San Francisco, Oakland, and San Jose.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Yes.
Comment?
Mr. Bates.
Quick comment, Madam Chair?
Yes, Mr. Bates.
Comment, please? Okay. Thank you, Tom Bates. I just wanted to draw people's attention to this document, this on-the-job document. These photos are magnificent. This is a piece of art, a piece of really, we should be very proud of this the work that's gone into this. It's a really phenomenal document. So I just didn't want to pass without complimenting staff.
Mr. McKenzie.
Two brief notes, Madam Chair. I'd like to compliment the Executive Director on his use of Scottish weather in his federal report. This may be a first, in at least in my experience as a Scottish-American person. And secondly, I guess we won't be able to use Delano as a walkable community. Sorry about that.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, seeing none, thank you, Steve. Number five, Commissioner comments. Our Vice Chair has a report for us on the Caldecott Fourth Floor, the photography exhibit. Amy?
Great. Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And sort of picking up on the comments of Commissioner Bates, I really want to echo how magnificent these images are, highlighting both the technical feats of the Caldecott, but also really the people that are so involved every day in building this tunnel. And just to highlight the fact that tunnel building is risky. And if you look at that first board that gives the brass tokens, those are what every worker carries into the tunnel when they go into work each day. And in event that there is a disaster, those coins are there so that people can identify what happened. So it really gives you an amplification of the risk. But we really wanted to just highlight for you kind of the scope of this project. One of the challenges of a tunnel project, unlike a bridge, is bridge you can see progress, whereas the tunnel, because, again, the high risk of the methane in the tunnel, most people aren't able to go in. So the idea is to bring this tunnel project out to the communities and so people can see the work that's being done and how their tax dollars are at work. And I just wanted to, one of the stories, the California Transportation Commission came to the Bay Area this last month and had their meeting on both ends of the Caldecott Tunnel. And we were able to have these photographs for them, and as well as the reception in the afternoon that was sponsored by the Women in Transportation Seminar. And I think that's one of the compelling stories about this particular project is the number of women that are working on this project relative to a generation ago. And as a mother of three daughters, I think it portends well for the future of women and in transportation. And on this Caldecott Tunnel project, Bijan and I worked together to pull together the numbers of the number of women, and there are over 145 women that have worked on this project from its conception to planning to funding to the politics to the construction. And as you all know, a generation ago, organizations like MTC, Caltrans, the CMAs, consulting firms, and engineering firms wouldn't have this many women working in these kinds of projects. So I think it's a real tribute to what people are doing. And as one of our roles on MTC is, in fact, to tell the stories to our constituents. So last week we went to several, Doreen and I went to visit the Golden Gate Bridge project at the California Historical Society, and it's interesting to see the archival material, you know, 80 years ago, and to see, to imagine that in 80 years from now people will be looking at these projects like the tunnel and the bridge and looking at what we were able to, you know, accomplish collectively. So I think it's a great story. These photographs are going to tour libraries and community centers and schools throughout Contra Costa and Alameda counties. In addition, the project includes a medallion contest for school children from both counties to put medallions at the front of the face of the tunnel like we have in the current historic tunnel. So I really want to just thank also the MTC staff, Karen Betts, who put this program together, gather these photographs, but and particularly the you know, MTC photographers and Caltrans photographers that have, you know, are bent up at all hours of the day and night taking photographs. Carl Nielsen, our photographer, took most of these photographs, and you can see they're really, you know, really magnificent, and they'll be, again, out for the public to see. And in particular, not only the technology of the road headers going to be retired soon, but the faces of the people that are working, you know, every day on that tunnel. So thank you for the opportunity to just share these with you and for the commission's support on, you know, on this project over the years. So thank you.
Thank you, Amy. That was terrific. And thank you for all your hard work on this subject as well. Any comments or questions for Amy? Yes, Mr. Campos.
Madam Chair, I don't know if it's the right time to do this, but I wanted to just make a separate comment on a different matter.
Sure, please.
But on this point, let me say that I do want to echo the point about the pictures, and I think it would be great. I know for us in San Francisco, especially around our schools and our kids, to be able to see some of these pictures, and I think the diversity of the people who are working here, and especially I think the fact that you have so many women represented is something that we should be very proud of. And you know, we work with many organizations that work with young girls, and I think it'd be great for them to see the many opportunities they have. So thank you, staff, for making that happen. But I just want to make a very brief comment about something that I hope we have an opportunity to discuss in the next few weeks. And I know that this is not the time to have that discussion, but I simply wanted to note that in the next in the very near future, the City and County of San Francisco will be putting a proposal forward, and we'll be bringing that proposal to the MTC. And I hope to have an opportunity to have a substantive discussion with all of you at the commission level, at the various committees. And that has to do with addressing the needs of low-income families in the City and County of San Francisco. One of the things that we have seen with this recession and what's happened in the last few years is that we have heard from many families and many young people that paying for public transit has become a challenge. If you look at the numbers in San Francisco, the cost of a fast pass, a monthly pass, has gone up by 210% in the last year or so. As that has happened, our school district has cut yellow school buses by half. And if you look at the numbers, 2 years ago we had about 21,000 kids that were actually paying for a fast pass. And right now, less than half, about 10,000, actually have money on a Clipper card. So faced with that challenge, the city and county has been working on this issue for the last year or so, and I know that many people have heard about this. But we are putting together a pilot project that deals with the needs of low-income families. We have put together a funding plan that pays for that mostly from city money, but at some point we will be asking for help from the region, and I look forward to the opportunity to have that discussion. And I just wanted to highlight that as the formal proposal comes before the commission. And so I look forward to having that opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other comments from commissioners? Okay. Oh, Mr. Haggerty?
Yeah, I'll jump in on this. I'd just like to say that Alameda County clearly is going through the same issue in relationship to the bus passes. I think we've maybe tried to attack this from a different direction, and that is through the half-cent sales tax that will eventually become a full-cent sales tax in Alameda County, which I hope all of you can follow and move to that level. It'll generate about $7 billion, but one of the programs that we do have in there is the ability for people to access programs that include school bus passes. I think we struggle with the same thing, and I think that clearly from Alameda County standpoint, if staff is going to move forward with this, that we'd like to either see a match of that program through the Measure B, or we would certainly want to partake in the same program that Mr. Campos is speaking of.
Okay, thank you. Did you have, okay, no further comments from commissioners? Okay, we'll move to the consent calendar. Is there a motion to approve the... I'm sorry, somebody... Okay, we have a motion to approve the consent calendar. Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, seeing none, the consent calendar is approved. Committee reports, the Select Committee on Transit Sustainability. Mr. Dodd.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The TSP Select Committee met on April 11, 2012. One item is before you today for action. Transit Performance Initiative Major Corridors approves the selection of five projects to be funded with $28 million for the pilot Transit Performance Initiative program. The final programming for these projects is recommended for inclusion in the One Bay Area Grant Program in May 2012. I move approval of the Transit Performance Initiative Major Corridors program.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor? Comment by Mr. Liccardo.
Yeah, just a question. I will be supporting the motion. I just had a question about the funding. Can any of this money be eligible for studies, or is this exclusively for something further along in the process, design or construction?
Commissioner, I suppose it could be. We got some projects, and we would obviously at this point prefer projects to studies. But we are leaving some funding on the table. And our hope is that if these pilots prove out, we'll be trying to identify additional funding to take this program further as we go.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weiner.
I also support this, and I can only speak to the San Francisco projects, but these are exactly the kinds of things that we need to be doing to improve the speed and reliability of our system. It's wonderful investment. You know, Mission Street, the Anjuda are two of the most clogged lines, and it's going to have significant impacts and also allow us to keep moving forward on the transit effectiveness project. And so this is terrific.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, that passes. The administration committee, Mr. Cortese.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Tessier. The administration committee did meet on April 11, 2012, and referred to the commission for its approval, resolution number 4057. That approves the 2012-2013 overall work program, which I think everyone's been provided a copy of. That guides the collaborative metropolitan transportation planning process. It involves MTC, ABAG, Caltrans, and other local transportation partners, and the authorization to enter into agreements for $11.7 million in transportation planning funds. I move approval of MTC resolution 4057.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any questions? Okay, all in favor? Any opposed? Okay, seeing none, that motion passes as well. Item number 9 is the Legislation Committee. Commissioner Haggerty.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. The Legislative Committee met on April 13th and referred three items to the Commission. The first one, we were in a pretty bad mood, so AB 1722 would require the Department of Transportation to update its policies with respect to changeable messages to allow local transportation agencies to display the following types of messages: safety message, transportation-related messages, reminders to register to vote, reminders to vote as elections approach, and remember to pick up the milk. I move we oppose AB 1722.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, seeing none, that first one passes.
Two more, Madam Chair. Yes. ACA 23 changes the voter approval requirement for special transportation taxes proposed by the local government from 2/3 to 55%. The same vote threshold required for educational bonds, since voters approved a special allowance for them in 2000. I move support of ACA 23.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposition? Seeing none, that passes as well.
SB 1310 seeks to increase compliance with California's hands-free cell phone law. I move support of SB 1310.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Seeing no opposition, that motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Haggerty. We're now on to public comment. I do not have any speaker cards. Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to speak to the commission? Okay, seeing none, we're going to adjourn. And our next meeting, as we mentioned earlier, 7 p.m. Thursday, May 17th at the Oakland Marriott Convention. But we also have our next meeting here as well at 9:30 Wednesday, May 23rd. So please make sure that gets on your calendar. And I believe our next meeting is Baja, and that is in the Claremont Conference.